Oh, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Thank you, Lord. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. And Lord, forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. So please, please, Lord, forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take time to love someone like me. Well, I read it in his word, the old, old story, how he bled for our forgiveness while dying on that tree. Please, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. And Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, I will. Until my dying days, I'll help others find a way. I'm at your mercy. So please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. And Lord, I'll serve you until my dying days. I'll help others find a way. I'm at your mercy. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me.
My, 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 my. How many of you are ready to receive what God has for you in this place tonight? Amen. I want you to do me a favor all across this place, in the balcony and on the floor. I want you to simply bow your heads for a moment. As you're sitting there with your heads bowed, some with eyes closed, some with them open, it doesn't matter. I want you to intently begin to tell God that you came tonight for something. Now, my something may be different than your something because my situation is different than your situation. But here's what I know. He's the greatest dad that's ever been. He's a king that desired to call you his friend. He's a king that desired to give you everything that he has. So in this place tonight, why would you come and why would you leave without taking advantage of what a king has come to offer? A king has come to offer restoration. A king has come to offer healing. A king has come to offer forgiveness. A king has come to offer peace. And a daddy has come to offer the love of a father. So whatever it is that you need in this place tonight, he has it for you. Will you have the courage to ask him for it? Or will you allow your pride to keep you where you're at today? Will you allow your circumstances to mandate your destiny instead of allowing what a king says about you to mandate your destiny? What is it that you need? I want it on your mind right now. If you've got a son or a daughter that's lost right now, God didn't bring you here so that you could have a fluffy service and hear some songs and hear a message. God brought you here to do war tonight, because we will not leave those kids where they're at. We will go and storm the gates of hell. God is calling you to rise up this evening. If you walk in this place tonight and your body is broken and it is sick, God didn't call you to leave here broken and sick. Well, no matter your theology, it doesn't change what he said. God brought you here so that you could leave restored in your body, in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, everything about you. If you came in tonight and your marriage is less than desirable, as a matter of fact, it's been hell on earth. God brought you in this place tonight because God didn't put you together so that you would be in hell on earth. He put you together so that you would storm the gates of hell that are coming against this earth. What is it that you need for him to do in your life? I want it on your mind right now. What do you need? Think about it. I'm talking about what you really need. See, desperate people will do desperate things. And I promise you, if you're in here tonight and your kids are in trouble, you're desperate. What do you need? Father, as we begin, we love you. I love you with every fiber of my being. I love you, Father, because you loved me when there was nothing lovable about me. But God, you saw something within me. You saw something that could be restored. God, from the beginning, you saw your DNA. God, from the beginning, you saw an image of you. I was created in your image, and you saw that image. No matter what I'd done to it, God, you saw that image from the beginning. So God, tonight, let them see your image in this place. Your image isn't a quitter. Your image isn't someone that gives up. Your image isn't someone that's hopeless. Your image isn't someone that doubts. Your image is an overcomer. So, Father, tonight we cry out as overcomers. We receive those things, Father, that we need in our lives. We thank you that a king and our daddy are there to do exactly that. Now, Father, we honor you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you agree, would you say amen? Woo! Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to sing one song. And I'm going to ask you, as we sing it, just as you've worshiped, I asked Skeeter to sing one of those songs, and Dennis thought of the other one because it goes exactly with the message. God has ordained tonight. There's very few times that I come to Greenwood, Louisiana. You can ask Dennis that I don't come and stop by the church before I go to the hotel, but the Holy Spirit captured me today. I didn't come tonight to just have church as usual. I come tonight to give you a word from the throne of God that he placed on the inside of me. And let me tell you something. If you want a word from the throne of God, you need to go to the throne. Are you hearing me? So here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to sing one song. It's called Here I Am to Worship. And as I sing it, I want you to go to the throne. I don't care how you go to the throne. Dennis, I imagine when we get to heaven, there's going to be people running and shouting toward the throne. And then there's going to be people sitting there in quiet in awe. But they're all going to the throne. I know that at the throne tonight, every answer that you need is there. I promise. So as I sing this song, if you know the words, you sing along with me. It's called Here I Am to Worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see a beauty that makes his heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Sing it now. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow.
time. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Just give me a little there, Josh. Thank you.
King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created. How for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Sing it with me.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
All across this place, can I hear you sing with me?
Here I am to you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
Now from way down deep inside, if you mean it.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Up to me, yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. I have a clock here. I'm not going to be long because I want a time for ministry. I'm going to go very quickly tonight. But the word that the Lord has given me is very quick. It's very to the point. How many of you know that some of the greatest things that will ever happen to your life are just straight and to the point? Amen. So I promise you, if you will grab a hold, I want you to mark, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to also be in 4. We're going to be in Hebrews. So if you want to, that's in the New Testament. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We will also be in John. You say, Ray, that's a lot of scripture. How can it be quick? If you'll just bear with me. I never went to preaching school, so I have no idea how to make a sermon long. All right? So just bear with me. Tonight, let me pray over this word. Father, I just thank you for what you're about to do. I am honored that you have not quit speaking to us. I am honored, Father, that you still love to speak to your kids today. So, Father, tonight I pray that you would speak to us loud and clear in this house. That, Father, you would hide every man-made thing. Matter of fact, Father, anything that's man-made, anything that's made to produce or elicit a response from a man-made way, take it all away. But everything that is made to elicit a spiritual response, everything that is God, Father, let it be elevated in this place tonight. Now, Father, we honor you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Before we get to Jeremiah chapter 3, I want to begin. I don't title many messages, but my bride will tell you that something happened to me on the way down here. I was driving and she noticed there was something different about me. And I said, the Lord's dealing with me about the heart of God. So tonight I title this message, The Heart of God. How many of you know that the heart of God is the most amazing thing that has ever been? Amen? The heart of God, and listen to me, if you hear me make that statement tonight and you go, man, I'm not certain if I even know what the heart of God is, before this night is over, you will have an opportunity to clearly see the heart of God. There will be no ambiguity in your eyes about what the heart of God is, because tonight the heart of God will be on full display. Before we get into Jeremiah, I want you to go at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. I want you to vision with me how God used to spend his evenings. I mean, God created everything. I mean, God created probably the greatest Six Flags that's ever been. God created the greatest theme parks that's ever been. God created the Rocky Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains. God created Alaska. God created Russia. God created Austria. God created everything. But God chose to spend his time in the evening hanging out with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, just walking and talking. If you want to know what the heart of God is, the heart of God has always been to have a relationship that is correct with humanity. How many of you in this place have ever had a time in your life where there was a hiccup with a relationship with one of your kids? Just raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm just serious. You ever had those times when they won't answer your calls because they're all grown up? And have you ever thought to yourself, if they just listen, if they just listen, I could save them a train wreck because there's a train headed their direction. But you know what? They're too cool for school sometimes. They know everything. They know much more than you do. You will absolutely understand a portion of how God feels you as a parent when you've tried to seek out your children. You don't want to harm them. You don't want to take things from them. You don't want to tell them what to do, but you're trying to save them from a wreck. And God used to love to hang out with Adam and Eve. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve got real smart, D.A., and they decided they was going to do things their way. And you know what? God never changed. God showed up at the same time, at the same place. Now listen to me. Follow me on this, because this is very important for you to understand where we're headed this evening. Because in today's world, in today's mentality, what we have this thought is God would have known that Adam and Eve fell and they sinned and they did horrible things. We've all heard people talk about other people after church in love, in Jesus' name. Did you hear what they did? And I'm not talking about them and I'm not gossiping, but I'm just sharing with you in love about what they did. And oh, isn't it horrible? We better be careful about how we associate ourselves. And you know what? He's probably far from them. How many of you find it interesting to me that God showed up at the same time and the same place, and they were the ones that were hiding because they felt, they knew for the first time in their lives that they were naked. They knew for the first time in their lives that there was ugliness in their life. They knew for the first time in their life right and wrong. They knew they were wrong and they were hiding from God. Listen to me tonight. The heart of God has never been to bring condemnation to people for wrong, but the heart of God has always been to spend time with you to get you through those times of wrong and to restore you. I wonder how many people in churches today, we come to church, but we bring a tree with us so we can hide behind it so we don't show God our nakedness. listen to me. I don't care if you shot dope up an hour ago, God loves you. I don't care if your divorce was final today, God loves you. I don't care if you cursed God in the parking lot and you just came to shut someone up, God loves you. God is desiring for you to come out from behind the bushes and show him that ugly stuff. And I promise you, when you do, God's not going to run. You know what he's going to do? He's going to hang out with you. You know what I found out? Now listen to me. How many of you won't let your kids hang out with certain people because absolutely they are bad influence? You know what I found out about God? He's a really good influence. If I let him walk with me, sooner or later I'll begin to talk like him. If I let God walk with me, sooner or later I'll begin to act like him. If I let God walk with me, sooner or later I'll begin to, that seed of faith that I was given as a child, it'll be activated and I'll be doing things that'll blow people's minds. I'll be taking the things that are in that book and I'll be applying them into today's society. See, the reason the church today is so much in trouble is because we've confined God to a book and we've not let him activate in our lives. I drop a page somewhere? Good. That's what I get. I never preach with notes. Y'all can tell God was dealing with me. He was downloading and I was writing. They say you can tell about people's intelligence by their handwriting. I hope that ain't true because this is chicken scratch up here, all right? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Actually, please endure me. Again, I know what time it is. I'll go very quickly. Verse 6, Jeremiah 3:6. During the reign of King Hosea, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce, and I sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her. She defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. And in spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all of her heart." Listen carefully. "But only in pretense, declares the Lord." The heart of God is to always forgive. Listen to me. The heart of God is to always forgive. But if you want forgiveness for your sins, if you want forgiveness for your failures, you can't come to God in pretense. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a rocket scientist, so I thought I would just kind of take a look and see what the dictionary, I had a good idea what pretense meant, but I wanted to see what the dictionary said about pretense. It's where we get our word pretend. In other words, they came to God and they said, "Oh God, I am so sorry," and they were just pretending that they were sorry for their wrongs. How many of you know that this country that we live in today has not come to God with their whole heart, with their whole mind, with their whole soul? Shreveport, Louisiana has not come to God with its whole heart, its whole mind, and its whole soul. They've come in pretense. "God, we don't want another economic downturn. God, would you save our family from the mess that it's in right now? And as soon as my family gets better, God, I'm probably going to go back to doing things the way I want to do them." That's not repentance. You want to know the heart of God? The heart of God is to forgive every time someone truly repents. W- what would happen in this country, Dennis Aaron, if people came and said, God, I don't care what happens to my money. I don't care what happens to my land. God, I don't even care what happens to my life, but I do care that I've wronged you, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon that cross. Let me help you with the answer to that question. We would see a revival that would break out in this place. We wouldn't see churches full of dead people that were offended every time they turned around. We'd see churches full of people that were seeking the very heart of God. And when you seek the heart of God, you'll find the heart of God every aspect of your life. The heart of God can be found, but it can never be found pretending to repent. Go with me to Jeremiah 3:22. Quickly, just going to read this. Return, faithless people, and I will cure your backsliding. Whew. How many of you think that this is a word for the body of Christ today? Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3. So many people want to come. They want to give God everything they've got. However, they want to keep everything that they've had with them. Now, just bear with me for a moment. Because I am unconventional, I do understand, but there's certain ways that I think and it makes sense to me. How many of you just love the feeling of good, clean socks? Raise your hand. Is there anybody who loves good, clean? I mean, good socks. Anybody? Do you really? You love them? Me too. Honey, let me and you're just going to talk for a minute. Now listen to me. I don't like them cheap socks. Look, if you want to buy socks at Walmart, you have at it, and I'm good at it, and I've had to buy them at Walmart before too. But I found these socks. They're called gold toe socks, and they're about 2 inches thick. And when a fat boy puts them on his feet, when he walks, it's like, dear God, look at the cushion that I've gave. But even those, now listen to me, even those gold toe socks, when you wear them all day long and you've had them in these boots, they get sweaty. Can I ask you ladies in here a question? How many of y'all have ever had to pick up your husband's socks and thought, has he been walking around in dead animals? Come on. We've all thought to ourselves, put them shoes back on. We don't need to smell that. What I'm about to read to you next would be exactly the same thing as what the church is doing today. We're trying to put on everything that we can that looks beautiful, and we're trying to keep the covered up things, the things that we love and that are dear. We don't want to change them. We want to keep them the same. And the truth of the matter is, it's becoming a stench unto God. And God is crying out, I'm not interested in you changing the things that I can see, honey. I'm interested in you giving me them things that you've held dear, that are covered up, that are gone, that nobody else can see. See, those are the things that will defile your life. Those are the things that will take your marriage. Those are the things that will destroy you. Men, whenever you sit down at a computer screen and that perversion comes across it, nobody else may see it in this house, but I promise you, God sees it. And if you think you're going to walk in the kingdom and carry those dirty socks of that perversion, honey, that stench will follow you forever, and it's never truly repentance. Thank you, Father. Chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's read real quickly. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. I came tonight because I believed some of us have got some unplowed ground that's got some thorns in it. And you own it. It's your ground. Those are your socks. But if you want God to do something in your family, you're going to have to bring out a big old deep breaking plow. And you're fixing to have to get rid of the thorns. You're fixing to have to get rid of the thistles. Joey, the grass that you have at your ranch is unbelievable. But you told me one time it's because you weren't a cattleman, but it's because you were a grass farmer. You said our cattle look good because we tend to our grass. I wonder how many of our spiritual lives would look completely different if we quit worrying about just the outside and we begin to go ahead and tend to the soil and we quit allowing people into our life that are choking the life out of us. Listen to me in this place tonight. You will never find a preacher that absolutely has a heart, maybe this man, that has a heart more for the lost than me. Bring me a hooker into this place tonight and I will not judge her, and I'll fight the first one of you that wants to judge her. You bring me a homosexual in this place, I won't judge him, and I'll fight the first one of you that wants to judge him. I'll love him, but I will never compromise what the word says to him. And if they want what God has for them, they're going to have to leave the thorns that they've been sowing in. You cannot expect a harvest to come through when your thistles are 10 foot tall. You cannot collect a harvest that way. Listen to me. I challenge any of you that have ever been on a farm before. If they go out and they begin to harvest the wheat, I promise you, Dennis Aaron, that field is as clean as anything. Because you know why? Because not only is their harvest on the line, but their equipment is on the line as well. Get you a whole bunch of them thistles caught up in there and see what happens. You're going to be broke down. You wonder why your life seems broke down so many times. It's because you keep coming to church and you keep sowing some seed. Oh, look what I'm doing. I'm giving most to God. I'm giving most everything to God. I'm giving most everything to God. You've given most everything to God so long that you're mostly destroyed. Now, some of you in this place can look at me, and you look at me carefully, because I want you to know that I got no backup in me, and I got no joke about me, because I do it every day in my life. It breaks my heart when I have to look at people and their lives are broken, and I've been sharing with them that there's thorns in their field, that God can't bless them. The heart of God is to bless them. You take a custom harvester. He is a custom harvester. He makes a living by harvesting. But he would be an idiot if he went into a field with trash all in it. It's his job. You might even say this. Listen carefully to me. It's who the custom harvester is. Isn't it something to think about all of the wheat that would be wasted because a field was too trashy? Because someone didn't take time to go and dig up the thorns. Isn't it something to think about our sons and our daughters and our grandkids and our marriages and our wives and our churches that are going to waste because we didn't have the courage and the fortitude to take a pick and axe, to take a shovel, to take whatever it took spiritually to dig up the thorns that are in our life? Because those thorns, now listen to me, because those thorns have been on that place since time began and you just can't see changing it. Honey, if you want God's change, you're going to be willing to let him make it whatever he sees fit. Go with me if you would. I'm going to skip Hebrews. I want you to go to John. Are y'all getting something out of this tonight? Going to read you a verse that you all know, Maybe it's my evangelistic side, but I believe every message that we preach could go back to this particular verse. The heart of God. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm just going to read. The heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now listen carefully to me. I'm begging you to listen carefully to me. The saddest thing in this whole universe, Mel, I believe, will be when we stand on Judgment Day and there are people who will spend an eternity in hell because they absolutely, truly never repented. Because the world told them if they really come out from behind the bushes and let them see, that let God see them naked, that he'll judge them. I believe that God judges hiding people, not people who come into the open. I believe God forgives people who come into the open. I believe by staying hidden, by keeping those things. And now listen to me. One of the greatest things that we'll keep hidden in our life is a hatred or an anger for someone in our lives. Hello? Maybe you have a brother, and that brother did you wrong 20 years ago. And for 20 years, you've hid behind a bush as you went to church telling everyone that it's okay. But on the inside, you hate him for the wrong that he did. Maybe 15 years ago, a man that was a pervert grabbed a hold of you, ma'am, when you were a young girl, and he violated you and he took your innocence away from you, and it was so wrong for him to do it. But don't stay hiding in the bushes with a hatred for someone that wronged you. Come out and let God see your brokenness and watch God restore it. That's the heart of God. Show God your broken things and he'll make them new. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.